Welcome to the Humanity Matters podcast, where we discuss and reflect on faith and philosophy, leadership and social issues. We want to engage in ideas and what it means to be a free human being in the pursuit of human flourishing. For more information, please visit our website, philipfletcher.org. And now, the Humanity Matters podcast. All right. Welcome to Ethics and Moral Theory. Ethics and Moral Theory. All right, a little bit about myself. Some of y'all know me. Some of y'all start. Some of y'all don't know me, which is fine. All right. For this semester, we are going to engage in reasoning, persuasion, critical thinking, wrestling to understand the question of what is right and wrong, good, bad. What are you using to determine that? What is good and what is bad? Is what is good situational? Is it based off of motivation? Is it based off of outcome? Is what is bad? Does it change on the basis of household, culture, a nation? Is there a right or wrong? What informs what it is that you believe? What informs your values? What informs your decision making? Now, if you have taken my STAR class, Personal Assessment Development, we have engaged in two different scenarios. And those scenarios come from this class. So we're going to engage with them again. So if you will, imagine you're in downtown Little Rock. There's a trolley that is coming through. And on that trolley is a track with five workers on it, and the trolley loses its brakes. You're standing there, you're observing what is going on. You can pull a switch, and that trolley shifts onto another track. But on the other track is one individual who is standing. If you do not pull the track, that switch, those five workers on one track dies. If you pull the switch, the worker, the single worker on the other track dies. Who in here pulls the switch? Keep your hand up. 3, 4, 5, 6. Oh, wait, just raise your hand. All right, so the majority here in the class would pull the switch, taking the life of the one to save the five. Who in here would not pull the switch? All right, so you would pull the switch, to save the five. Excuse me. You would not pull the switch, all right? Therefore, different outcome. Now, let's go to the majority. Why would you pull the switch to kill the one to save the five? Somebody.
I think in that situation, it's about the greater good.
Okay.
It's about saving as many people as you can, because you can't save everybody. It's best that, you know, one person takes one for the team and to kill them.
Okay, so you mentioned the greater good. Street, everyday language, somebody has to take one for the team. Right? All right. Somebody else in the majority. Why would you pull the switch? Yes, ma'am.
Basically, what she said, because even if the one person that died was, like, amazing, like, they were just the best person ever, that's five people, that's, like, five families that have to lose instead of one family that has to lose.
Okay. All right. Somebody else in the majority. You pull the switch, take the life of the one to save the five.
I agree with what they're saying because there's five people against one. So if I don't pull this switch, all five of them are going to lose their lives. But if I do pull the switch, one person just it's just that it's one against five, so I should okay. I feel as if yeah, somebody has to take it.
Somebody's taking for the team. All right, for the minority. Tell us.
I'll let it pick the five because just thinking out the box, I'll say one of the five will alert the other people or somebody will see and somebody just move. I mean, they'll just move out the way, but it's still going to be one. So, I don't know. Yeah, but I say let the five get hit. But instead of the five getting hit.
The five are going to get hit.
No,
five are gonna die in the one list.
No, I'm saying like one group out of that five, if somebody go see it and somebody go alert the other people and they'll move out the way.
He said there's five people on it, but the brakes don't work.
But I think what he's saying is if somebody out of the five that's on the track see it coming, they'll be able to tell somebody. Try and make a little loophole.
Okay.
Everybody gonna die.
That was the thing, though. He said that if you don't pull the switch, somebody that's on the they die,
let us
know. If somebody alerts somebody else. So I feel like, isn't that the two choices? Like, they have to die if you don't pull the switch.
Yes.
So somebody has to die.
Either the five are
going to
die or the one are
going to
die.
I'll choose the one.
Okay. All right. So, let's come a little higher. Well, go ahead, sir. Excuse me?
The brake. You can derail the train. I don't know, maybe pull the lever in such a way it goes right down the middle. Derail the train.
Somebody got it.
It's a train. No,
yeah, okay. So, but answer the question, trying to get out of the moral dilemma.
It would be. Yeah, I mean, I'm saying they don't have to die.
No, I'm saying there are.
They are. They have to die.
Fight for one of them.
Well, I mean, I wasn't there then.
Okay. So we'll talk about skepticism. All right. If you will. Same scenario, but you're above the bridge. There's a bridge going over across the trolley. You see the trolley moving fast. And next to you is a very large individual leaning over, watching what is happening with you. If you push the large individual, it will save the five. If you don't push the individual, the five die. Again, raise your hand. Would you push the heavy individual to save the five? Raise your hands. Would you not push the individual and see the five die? Okay, so For those of you who were in the majority the first time and were willing to sacrifice the one to save the five, why are you not willing to sacrifice the one to save the five in this scenario?
Because in this situation, we killing the man ourselves.
Hey, yeah.
Yeah,
like,
we push him off. Yeah,
like,
we push him off, we
killing
him ourselves.
It's cool.
Then he had nothing to do.
I think this time, in both situations, we're making a move, but in this one, I'm actually pushing him, so I think I'll feel worse.
So you're making an argument because there is more of a intimate connection mm-hmm. with the individual.
Yes.
You have a greater hesitancy to sacrifice the one for the five.
Yes.
Okay. Now, so the majority would sacrifice the five for the one. Why?
because we don't want to deal with that on our
own. No, let's hear from the majority. You're in the majority?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, why?
Because I wouldn't want to live with that on my mind, just pushing somebody to kill me.
But you're willing to live with on your mind the sacrifice of many.
If that point is not me, because like in this situation, somebody on the track got to die anyway, but the man on the bridge, he ain't got to die. So
mm-hmm.
he just stay up there.
Okay. Somebody else.
It's on the five.
It's only five.
It's on the five.
It's on the five. Like it's their responsibility.
Right. At this point, I can't like kill somebody else for you.
So you're making an argument that because if a person is in a particular dire situation, that is their total responsibility.
Not like their responsibility, but like I'm not gonna kill somebody else. I'm not gonna kill anybody, just push somebody.
But when you have the power to save many and choose not to, are you held responsible?
If I'm pushing myself on the track,
are you, when you have the power to save many and choose not to, are you responsible?
Not in that situation.
You're responsible either way, though.
Okay.
I would still hold myself responsible. Like, I would still say, I feel like it was still a lose-lose situation. So, mm-hmm. I don't feel like any situation would go great. So, I would hold myself responsible to either outcome. Mm-hmm. So.
All right. Yes, ma'am.
I feel like you wouldn't be responsible either way that you go. Because, one, that's like a terrible situation to be put in. And then, two, no matter what, somebody's gonna die. So you can't do anything. It doesn't matter if it's however many people are getting saved and however many people are getting not being saved. So I feel like either way, it's not really your responsibility.
Okay.
Unless you push on.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, what is ethics? So, each one of you in here comes to this college campus, you come into this setting, wherever you're from, with some morals, values, and beliefs that have been infused in you. Those morals, values, beliefs are going to look different on a basis of different variables. The family situation, the place in which he was raised, whether there's any type of religious or non-religious influence. You have a view of yourself, you have a view of others, and the treatment of others and how to engage with others that is shaped by a number of variables. And so when we talk about ethics, we're asking ourselves, what is the right thing to do? What is the wrong thing to do? And there's three parts you have to consider. What is my motive for doing this? What is the action that I am doing? What is the outcome? We're going to talk about this over this semester. What is your motive? What is the act? And what is the outcome? Now, there are two different frameworks that we're going to be looking at when it comes to ethics. One is called consequentialism. Now, in that word, consequentialism is the word consequence, outcome. That the right thing to do is based off of the outcome for the greatest number of individuals or the greater good. So we're going to learn from somebody called Jeremy Bentham, who came up with the framework called utilitarianism. Utility. is the act, is what I am about to do, or we are about to do, or what we're going to vote on doing, or what maybe we're going to force other people to do, is the outcome beneficial to the greatest number of individuals? And if it's beneficial, it's good, it's just, it's right. The other framework we're going to be looking at. It's on the basis of category. Here, we are looking at the fundamental morals and beliefs. What is it that's motivating? What is virtuous? We're not looking at the consequence. We are looking at what is the animating principle as to why you're doing what you are doing, regardless of the circumstance. So in our two different scenarios, if in your values and beliefs it is wrong to kill, because that's based on a set of principles, no, Christianity, Islam, Judaism, because mama said so, then that's what we're going to be paying attention to. Now, out of consequentialism, categorical or non-consequentialism, we're going to be looking at different things. All right, utilitarianism, we're going to be looking at objectivism, altruism, all of these different types of ethical principles, so that you can understand, moving on to the next thing, who are you? Who are you in your understanding of justice and ethics and doing what is right and doing what is wrong? Is there ever a time when you're in a particular culture? And in one culture, it is right to do a particular thing, but in a culture in which you originate, that is utterly detestable. So, would it be acceptable, come on in, to kill old people in order that there would be more resources? I don't know. That was a rhetorical question. Who am I in this decision making? At home? On my job? Who am I in determining good and bad when I'm told to go vote on something? I know mama and daddy was in this party voting such and such a way. But when I read the policy of that party, and it's not good, but it's not just, do I go with the group for the outcome, or am I just going to follow my moral principles? Fundamental beliefs. Briefly, skip past this. We're going to be looking at Immanuel Kant. Now, who am I? So what is ethics, values, and beliefs determine what is right, but wrong, good, bad, just, and unjust? Who is the animating principle ultimately in this? It's you. But why? Why is it important to know why you think a particular act is good or bad, just or unjust. Maybe it was right that that cop shot that young black man. Maybe it was wrong that universities across the United States required students to take a vaccine before they returned back to college. Or maybe it was right that I was to take something that I didn't know what was in it into my body. Wait, hold on a second. I have bodily autonomy. You cannot tell me what to do with my body and this child that I am carrying. But you can tell everybody else to take a vaccine. Ethics helps expose the inconsistencies that exist in each and every one of us. Are y'all picking up what I'm putting down? All right. So, let's get to the... Hey, if you found something of value, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Find us on Facebook at Dr. Philip Fletcher. Find us on Twitter at Phil Fletcher. And as always, visit us on the website philipfletcher.org.